This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchel with Professor H.J. Mackinder. Six Capitals, Six Points of View, just short of the one-year anniversary of the attack on Ukraine. Russians like anniversaries to launch new offensives. They like to celebrate anniversaries of victories and defeats, such as Stalingrad. Right now, we're in D.C. It is generally said, cynically, that American foreign policy is an extension of domestic policy. The president's State of the Union message was mostly domestic policy. There was mention of the Chinese provocation of surveillance balloons. There certainly was mention of supporting Ukraine, which got a rousing standing ovation from all members of Congress. Professor, D.C.'s point of view at this time of the war, does D.C. want to negotiate? It's talking armor, but not warplanes.
Well, I would have to say that from the standpoint of someone who knows even a little bit about how wars are fought, what you need, what we're hearing from Washington is really that we want the Ukrainians to win, but they're going to have to make bricks without straw. We're not. Mr. Biden has said no aircraft for Ukraine. He was asked, and he simply said no. Well, the question then is, how are they going to fight? I mean, in a 21st century war, control of the air is vital. The Russians have got some very fine aircraft, and the Ukrainians are. What are they supposed to do? Now, look at the United States. Just in the last week or so, we have twice used the F-22 Raptor, which is an extraordinarily advanced aircraft, with an AIM missile, I think it's called a Sidewinder missile, to shoot down one large and one small Chinese balloon. We don't worry about whether using, although the Chinese are upset that we used an F-22 to shoot down their wretched balloon, we reach for the best thing we've got. The F-22 is it. It's the only one that can fly up to the altitude and all the rest. Well, if we're using our Raptors to shoot down balloons, what sense does it make for us to say Ukraine should not have aircraft because that would be dangerous? And as I thought about this, I started thinking, you know, it's amazing. The United States is not treating Zelensky as well as FDR treated Joseph Stalin. When in World War II, we gave the Russians, about the Soviets as they then were, $130 to $160 billion worth of so-called lend-lease, and that was what turned the tide for the Russians, for the Soviets. They would not have succeeded without that. And we gave Stalin whatever he wanted, even if it meant taking it away from our own troops. FDR had a whole fantasy about Stalin's role in the post-war world and all the rest. Well, what's going on now is that our prevarication about supplying weapons, which may to some extent reflect a genuine inability to do so, which if so must be corrected immediately, that prevarication is allowing a new power configuration to emerge in this part of the world, as a result, not of intention, but of incomplete thinking and action. We have a report from RAND Corporation that we should change strategy. In 2019, they said we should weaken Russia. Now they say it's time to pause the war and make a diplomatic settlement because we're really having trouble with dealing with both Asia and Europe at the same time. I don't know if anyone at RAND knows, but in World War II, that was what we had to do. And, of course, a two-theater war is very, very difficult. But we did win that one. So they say we have to pause the Ukraine war. You can't pause a war any more than you can pause a flood or you can pause a prairie fire. War is about as manageable, as the Chicago fire or natural disaster. And fire consumes everything until there's nothing more for it to consume. You have to use human willpower and intelligence to prevent that from happening. But the fire's not out until it's completely out. So since it's too late to hang the Ukrainians out to dry, we have to help them to win because only a Ukrainian victory will lead to stability in that part of the world and peace. How? Well, Clausewitz said, better to use twice the force and win in half the time than use half the force and win in twice the time. And I think that's right. And that's what we should have done in retrospect. In other words, we should have punched back very, very hard. If the Ukrainians had come back very hard, the Russians might have backed off. But instead, we did this kind of sort of drip feed approach to giving the Ukrainians things, because we were afraid. We fondly imagined that if we did it that way, we'd then be able to control the war and prevent escalation. And the great irony is that our gradualist approach and our rationing of military aid has, in fact, made the war less rather than more manageable, because it's lasted for a longer time. More things have become involved. The stakes have become higher. There is the so-called tyranny of sunken costs. The Russians' face is on the line. So we're in a very, very, I think if someone's trying to look at the United States, or they do, I think they'll get the same conclusion we usually do, which is that really we don't really know what we're doing. Although I have to say, I think the Pentagon's doing a rather good job. I think that the State Department, and I think that some of the people who should be the people who should be involved in negotiation and diplomacy, it's incredible to me that they're not busier than they are. Let's they go should be 24 hours.
Let's go to the Pacific, because if we need an example of muddle, it would be in the Pacific. The balloon shot down off over South Carolina, the balloon over South America never explained, a balloon shot down over Alaska, and now fresh information, it's all we have, that a balloon shot down over Canada. Three balloons all so far shot down. What does this mean for Ukraine war? What does it mean for everything? Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.